Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this time together, that you gather us together on this first day of the week, that we can celebrate Jesus and what he means to us and for us. We ask that we do something good for his sake in this time that you've given us. Amen. So in case you didn't realize it, it's Easter Sunday, and maybe you feel a little funny because there's something that we usually do that we haven't done yet. You feel unsettled. Maybe. Or maybe now you're like, what haven't we done that we do? And now I feel unsettled because I don't feel unsettled. Well, I'll let you off the hook. Normally, by now already, I would, or someone like me, in a black dress that's suitable, would have said, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Right, and you would say that. Good job. But I didn't say it until now. I was putting it off. Because you're going to help me. Because we're going to say that a few times. Now, the reason why we're excited about this, that Christ is alive, is obviously because it has something to do with Christ. Jesus represents God for us, right? But we don't want to forget that Jesus also represents us for God. And that if Jesus is alive, it means something about us. That if Jesus is alive, we too might be alive. That if Jesus is not in the tomb on Easter morning, it can mean something meaningful for us. That we too might not stay in the tomb. This is part of the good news of the gospel today. That Christ is alive, and that means something about you, it means something about me, it means something about our life in God. Now, in the gospel lesson from Luke, there's a lot of people hanging around the tomb. Jesus is not there. Jesus has been risen. They're all looking for the living among the dead, says Luke. And I got to thinking about that. We kind of do that too. We're in the tomb too. We have our own tombs that we spend a lot of time in. Now, hear me out. Some of you might be in the tomb of the past. Right? That's the tomb you spend a lot of time in. The tomb of the past. Regret. Oh, I wish I would have done it this way. I wish I would have said this. I wish I wouldn't have said that. Right? This happens to us in very superficial ways. If our spouse asks anything about what we're wearing, it's a trap. Call counsel. Now a lot of times the easy joke is that, you know, the wife might ask the husband, what do you think about this? It's a trap. But it happens the other way too. You know, guys, if you ask your wife something, it's a trap for her too. She can't win. Elizabeth McCormack will tell you after service. It's a trap. It's a trap. We all have these moments of regret, you know. A lot of people are going to be sharing Easter dinner together today. You know, we'll all be singing a little bit of Frank Sinatra. Oh, regrets? I have a few. And you know, when you're with family, they know. You don't have to tell them. They know what you regret. They were there, right? My cousins are here. They know what I'm talking about. So we have regrets. We can be in the tomb of the past, right? Spend time with regret. Or maybe it's not regret. Maybe it's nostalgia. Oh, nostalgia. Touching the old wound of the past. Oh, you remember how good it used to be? Remember how good it was? You know, this is nice. This Easter service is nice. But it's not like we used to have. Remember how good it used to be? Oh, it was so good. Remember when we were kids? You can even hear little kids do this to each other. They'll say, oh yeah, the Nintendo Switch, it's good, but it's not like the Game Boy. Remember the Game Boy? Oh, that was good. Or you get some people my age talking about Nintendo where you had the cartridge and you had to go blow into it, you know, and put it in. But you couldn't just put it straight in. You put it in, you pushed it to the right and pushed down. We had all sorts of tricks and liturgy that we would perform. Oh, it was so good back then. Kids today, they don't have it as good as we had it. That's nostalgia. That's the tomb of the past. But friends, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And he redeems the past. He redeems the past today. Remember, his body has scars. The scars of the past, but he is alive. Alive in the present, not in the tomb. He's beyond the past, into the present moment. You can see the past on him and the pains of the past, but he's beyond that. And he calls us out of the tomb of the past into the present. Now, that's fine. But that might not be your thing. You might not be plagued with the past. You might say, well, Mike, that's pretty good. You know, if you had to have a sermon with three parts, that'd be a good part. You should keep that part. But I'm not really in the tomb of the past. Oh, I know. You're not. You're in the future. You're in the tomb of the future. It's hard to keep up with you. You're always on the move. You're beyond. You're already at dinner. Right now you're at dinner. It's 2 o'clock already for you. I don't know what's going on. You're thinking about lots of other stuff. You might be dealing with worry because the future, there's a lot of stuff to think about, a lot of things to be worried about. This happens to me whenever I have to go home to Ohio. I go on I-75. I like that. I didn't like I-75 as much in the Florida part, but you know, you get up to that Tennessee part, it's pretty nice. So I'm up there, I'm driving along, and I've told some of you this story before. I get to that sign, it's my favorite sign. It says, Fallen Rock. And I have this conversation with the sign and myself every time, all three of us, we talk about this every time I go. Fallen Rock. Falling Rock? Has it already fallen? Look, friends, if it's already fallen, could they do something about it? Why the sign? If they could take the time to put the sign up, I've never thought about this before, why can't they just take care of the rock? Or is it that it's falling? In which case, is it better to be in the fast lane or the slower lane? Because I feel like if I'm closer to the side of the mountain, I have a better chance. Although, maybe if I'm on the other side, I could see it better. And, you know, I talk about this with myself and the sign every single time. And by the time I figure it out, I'm 4 or 5 miles down the road from wherever the rock may or may not be. This is the tomb of the future, to worry about all this stuff and twist it up. I had a great elder named Bob who used to say, you know what a dog does with a bone? He worries it. It doesn't produce anything, but boy, he's at it. That's the tomb of the future. But maybe for you, it's not worry. It might be that the tomb of the future is about escaping the present moment, you know, getting out of this place where you are so you can kind of narcotize yourself with like Netflix and science fiction and think about the car of tomorrow. Oh, everybody talks about driverless cars. Oh, it's going to be great. Tom Cruise had a driverless car in Minority Report. That worked out pretty good, except for the end bit. I mean, this is escaping. That may be where you're at. But the good news of the gospel is that Christ is risen. And he calls us to what we really want, especially if we're in the tomb of the future, which is true newness and novelty and recreation. Paul says, Christ is raised by the glory of the Father so that we too might walk in newness of life. We don't have to run after the future. We can walk in the newness of life with Christ. We don't have to worry, and we don't have to try to escape, because the newness of life that Christ offers us is present. That's why we have this meal on Easter that some people would love for us to stop doing, because they just don't understand why we have to have communion on Easter. And plus, it adds like 12 minutes to the service, and the pastor's already going to talk for more than 13 minutes. I don't believe anything that's in that bulletin. So why do we have to have this? Because it calls us to the present moment. It calls us to the eternal now, where Christ is present with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this stuff just helps us be aware of that. But you might not be a tomb of the past kind of person, and you might not be a tomb of the future kind of person. I know your thing. I got you. you're maybe trapped in the tomb of the present, right? Especially if you're a church person. Oh, if you're a church person, somebody's going to ask. You'll just overhear it in the hallway. I wonder who could help us. Oh, I can do it. I can do it. I can play tuba. Yeah, daddy. Oh, I can do it. I can sing alto. I can sing. Can you play tuba and sing alto? Really? Amazing. Yeah, daddy's asking. So this happens. We're in the tomb of the present, and we're captive. We're captive to the wants and the needs of everyone around us, asking us if we can do this, if we can do that. And we hear all these requests, they all come in and they all seem equally important. And we just, yeah, I could do it, oh, I can do it, I could do it. And we're just giving ourselves away, just giving ourselves away, giving ourselves away. Never even thinking if, should I do that stuff? Or if I do it, does it keep someone else from doing it? St. Francis of Assisi on his deathbed said to a guy apparently holding a stethopad, I discovered what was mine to do. I discovered what was mine to do. May God show you what is yours to do. See why I wrote it down? Because it helps us realize that we're called to some things, but we're not called to everything. If we can't say no, our yes doesn't matter. We can't be captive to everybody's wants and wishes and whims, because, friends and neighbors, what'll happen is then we'll become captive to anger. I had a first grade teacher, and this is how she talked the whole year, except for when she could talk without even moving her lips. I don't know what happened. I went home and said, Mom and Dad, my first grade teacher is a witch. My dad was like, well, Michael, why do you feel that? Well, first of all, she's got long black hair. Okay. Well, also, she can talk through her face. Well, now that I think about it, maybe Miss Bamer, bless her heart, was captive to everyone else's wants and wishes and whims, and she didn't feel free. Because the good news of the gospel is Christ is risen. And he frees us to be individual people that are called to the work of God. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. And we're all called to get to use them. We don't have to do everything, but everybody has to do something, right? We're all called to play a role. You can't play every position on the field. It's just not going to work out too well. And you're going to be angry and frustrated. And you'll feel that captivity. It's a lock that you closed yourself, right? So you may not be captive to the past, and you may not be captive to the present, and you might not even be captive to the future, but you're captive to something. And the good news of the gospel is today Christ is risen.
He is
not here. He is not in the tomb. And he invites us to not be in the tomb either.